Hold on to summer with WBEZ at the Evanston Folk Festival this weekend. We're hosting tent talks with folk artists Bonnie Kolak, Sam Beam, Roseanne Cash, and more. Info at wbez.org/events.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Adult education programs in Illinois are in limbo after they recently got word the Trump administration is freezing funding to review a range of grants. My colleague Esther Yunji Kang reports groups that provide English language, civics, and other classes say 40% of their funding is at stake. Sarah Huang runs adult ed at Chinatown's Poitak Center and says the freeze on funds that were expected July 1st could harm various groups.
The adult immigrant who already has a high school diploma, college degree, you know, back in their home country, you know, they still need to learn English. They still need to study to become citizens. They still need the vocational job training. It's also people that were maybe in the justice system, people that had to drop out of high school for various reasons. So it impacts more than just immigrants.
Illinois officials advised groups to spend state money first as the feds review the grants. Lawyers for Commonwealth Edison's former CEO say she should not serve any prison time for conspiring to influence Illinois' one-time House Speaker. My colleague Dave McKinney reports federal prosecutors want Ann Primajori to serve nearly 6 years in prison and pay a $1.75 million fine. She was at the center of a long-running corruption scheme to boost ComEd's legislative fortunes that also ensnared former House Speaker Michael Madigan. Primajori's lawyers want probation and a $10,000 fine for multiple convictions for falsifying business records and conspiracy. They say Primajori has lived an exemplary life. Dozens of supporters wrote the court urging leniency ahead of her July 21st sentencing, including federal judge Charles Koukouras. Primajori once clerked for him. 30 years ago this week, a heat wave killed more than 700 Chicagoans. Sociologist Eric Kleinenberg wrote the book Heat Wave, A Social Autopsy of Disaster in Chicago, and he tells our Reset program the heat wave was a failure of preparation and investment in 21st century infrastructure.
I was struck by how many people just couldn't accept the reality of this event. And to this day, I think the thing that's so troubling for the city is that on the one hand, we know there was a great disaster. And on the other hand, we really don't want to go back and look at what happened.
Kleinenberg says the city had a heat emergency plan in place, but failed to activate it in time to save lives, especially lives in impoverished and segregated neighborhoods. And the Chicago White Sox have a new major leaguer, Colson Montgomery. The prize shortstop from Holland, Indiana, made his home debut yesterday on the South Side with a few notable defensive plays. He's not the only rookie making waves ahead of next week's All-Star game. Pitcher Shane Smith was the sole player selected to represent the White Sox and the first rookie player in White Sox history to be an All-Star. Sox general manager Chris Getz says both rookies are giving the team new life.
We've got a young group up here with our major league club, and you know they're playing pretty well. Obviously we've got a ways to go still, but there's been some really strong performances.
Getz says Montgomery's development is a top priority in the team's rebuild. 3-2-1. Getz says Montgomery's development is a top priority in the team's rebuild and preventing a third straight 100 loss season. You're listening to The Rundown. Most colleges have buckets of free condoms at their health centers or even Plan B vending machines. DePaul University in Lincoln Park is on the opposite end of this spectrum. The Catholic campus has a total ban on distributing birth control. A student group tried to fill that gap with free contraceptive delivery, but DePaul officials recently suspended the organization. Campuses are under pressure from the Trump administration to comply with its political agenda, and this has forced the womb service further underground. My colleague Lisa Kurian Phillips spent a day with the network's leader to find out more.
Maya Roman lives with her little sister and parents in an apartment in Albany Park. It's on the second floor of one of the few remaining Victorian houses on their block. It's filled with family photos and kid art, and Maya's anxious dog and her grandmother's two birds.
She has difficulty walking, okay. So we're just taking care of her birds right now. But they're lovers, so they make a lot of noise.
We've got a little time before we have to head to DePaul. So over banana nut muffins, Maya tells me how she got so fired up over reproductive justice and came to start what she and her friends call the womb service. The story stretches back to middle school.
The sexual education at CVS was just really bad.
She says it used scare tactics about sexually transmitted diseases to encourage abstinence instead of teaching students about their bodies and safe sex.
And I'm really fortunate because my mom's a nurse. So in middle school, while I was getting the public education that was respectfully abysmal, my mom would have like this little book and she would be like, you know, like go through this, ask me questions. Like it's okay to ask questions about what's happening with your body.
But Maya worried about her friends who weren't getting the knowledge and openness they needed from school or their families. And she found out Planned Parenthood offers free materials on sexual health and wellness.
So I would take that and I would like go to my friend groups and be like, this is like what you need.
Once Maya enrolled at DePaul, she was shocked to find students who needed even more. For 20 years, officials there have outlawed the distribution of any kind of birth control on campus. They say contraceptives go against the school's Catholic identity. Maya and the other students running the womb service call the policy out of touch and worse. Dangerous. As Maya says, college is prime time for sexual exploration. And an unplanned pregnancy can derail a student, especially if they're poor.
It affects the economic status of that family moving forward because you're less likely to be able to complete your degree. So it impacts not just the next, you know, 9 months. It impacts your entire livelihood forever.
Maya's gotten so fired up that she's lost track of time. She starts scrambling around her dining table, grabbing a bunch of brown paper bags and stashing them into a black tote. Each baggie contains some combination of condoms, dental dams, Plan B, pregnancy tests. Through the womb service, any student at DePaul can request these supplies free of charge. They're donated to the group by Planned Parenthood and another nonprofit. Maya's got a whole pile of them in her room, and she's due on campus soon to hand some off to a volunteer. So after she's grabbed the tote and two other bags with her laptop and school stuff, we hustle to the Francisco stop on the Brown Line.
We'll probably duck underneath to hop on.
Rockwell is next.
We find seats at the back. Maya's phone is lighting up because she doesn't just run the womb service. She's got classes and studying and two jobs to help pay for school.
It is so crazy that for something like contraceptives, that's on us to have to take care of.
Because regardless of DePaul's policy, the need is there. Maya says the womb service gets as many as 25 orders a week. She says there are students who can't afford birth control or whose families are against its use.
Not every student has an environment where that is a welcomed ideology or a welcomed practice, and which is concerning because it's healthcare, but that's the truth of it.
Maya, with her many bags, leads me to a campus building where she sets up her home base. She gets her laptop out while we wait to go meet one of the womb service volunteers.
I will just step out onto public property, which is the sidewalk or the street. As long as the distribution happens on public property, it doesn't violate DePaul's guidelines.
Out on the sidewalk, she pulls a paper bag from her tote and hands it over to a student with bright red hair. This volunteer will take the package and deliver it to the student who requested it at one of five drop locations, just off DePaul's Lincoln Park or downtown campus.
Hey, here you go. Thank you so much. Yeah.
It's like a bizarre drug deal, one that's become even riskier since DePaul revoked the group's status as a registered student organization last month. Back on the train, Maya explains it's because of their affiliation with Planned Parenthood. The National Reproductive Justice Group has become a lightning rod for the movement against reproductive freedom. And right now, the Trump administration is pressuring campus leaders to get in line with their conservative agenda.
College campuses are supposed to be a safe place for you to explore who you are as an adult. And with those rollbacks and with the way colleges and universities are essentially cowering, individuals are left scrambling to fill in those blanks and fill in those gaps.
A DePaul spokesperson said the university supports student-led dialogue on reproductive health, but it does not permit student organizations affiliated with groups that go against its Catholic mission. With or without DePaul's approval, Maya and her fellow womb service volunteers are still out there making covert deliveries to classmates in need. Lisa Corianne Phillip, WBEZ News.
Partly sunny skies, warm and humid today. We're seeing some scattered showers and a high in the upper 80s. Cloudy tonight, some scattered showers and thunderstorms, a low in the low 70s, and very warm and sunny on Wednesday. Tomorrow's high in the mid 80s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labus. Thanks for listening.